a test. I repeat, this is not a test. Boys, I hit the alarm button. Two episodes ago, three episodes ago, four episodes ago, we said we weren't smacking that red button yet. I think it might be time. Welcome to Canucks Corner. This is episode 10. Boom, milestone. What's going on, boys? Steve, Zach, how you doing? I know, Steve, you like to go first, right? So we'll start with you.
No, what do you mean I like to go first? I don't want to go first.
Sorry, Zach likes you to go first.
Zach wants me to go first. That's the fucking situation.
Just go first. Jesus.
Jeez. Always got to go fucking first. No, things are good. Moving my gym from Surrey to Maple Ridge. So hopefully that all done and set up and hopefully ready for the first week of December. So see how it goes though.
Sick. Nice. I'm sure the number of affliction wearers in Maple Ridge is probably close to Surrey too. You should get the same number of people out there.
You're jealous because you can't fight your way of a wet paper bag.
I can't. Here we go. I'm way too small to do it anyway. No, I can't.
Talk shit behind the camera.
That's what I'm the best at. Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. That's good. I saw on social media and stuff you're posting up about it, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're starting to start doing a little bit more advertising, but we're gonna make the Instagram and do all that stuff once we get the new gym and get it done properly and everything. So
Zeke, what's that? Sorry, Bartel, I'd also like to add that mustache makes you look skinnier.
I know, yeah.
That's a good point.
Is it? Or I think it anymore look like a pedophile. Like
that too. That too. Yeah.
Cokehead pedophile, yeah.
Yeah. He looks felt.
Strung out in 3 days.
Yeah.
Slowly driving by schools.
Right on, man. Well, it's the 1 month we can get away with this look, so exactly, I embrace it.
Right? Why not?
Zach? Coming in.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing well. I mean, I'm kind of finally indoors today. To anybody who's local, we're having just monsoon crazy weather here right now, flooding and mudslides and all that crazy good stuff. So I was working outside today all day on the side of a house building an overhead service. It sucked, but inside I'm dry now, so I can't complain. And, you know, one of the highlights of my week is sitting down here with you two retards and talking hockey. Yeah. So
let's go.
Yeah, shout out to, or I don't want to say shout out, but, thoughts and prayers, I guess, out to those people that are trapped in the mudslide there.
Yeah.
There's nine people. So, I heard that somebody, they had to sleep overnight, I guess, because both, there's a slide just outside Hope and then just outside Merritt. So people were stuck in between having to sleep in the cars and all that. And then some people were hearing the horns of the people that are trapped. So hopefully they all get out safe and all that stuff. But yeah. So pretty crazy out there. Be careful.
Is that Highway 7?
You don't have to go anywhere. Don't go.
Yeah.
All of them are blocked down. Like, if you want to go into anywhere interior, you got to go through the States and come back out through like Creston or wherever.
It's so crazy right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully everything gets sorted out there and everyone gets out safely. I know lots of people who have been affected by flooding already too. So
yeah, I've seen it. It's pretty bad in the States too. My aunt and uncle have a business. I mean, they do carpet cleaning and stuff like that, but they're showing me a picture and it's like 4 feet deep on their door, right? Just below the door handle. So it's insane, right?
Yeah. Man. Well, I mean, since we're on shitty subjects,
we're talking about the Canucks.
We might as well roll right into your Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, it's been bad.
That's a good segue.
Boys, yeah. Yeah, the alarm, the red button, fucking shitty weather.
Yep.
So I don't even know where to start.
Your boy Travis Green.
Start with Travis? No, we can't start with Travis. Well, okay, let's start with Travis. What do you got, Bartel? What do you think? you're off with his head, I imagine. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was gonna start your opinion just so I can debate it, but I think Jim Benning needs to figure something out quick with them, otherwise it'll be both their jobs. I think Travis isn't producing what we need to do, I guess. But yeah, I don't know, what do you think, Stack?
Yeah, I don't know where to start, to be honest. I mean, I see a lot of stuff online calling for Benning, and fair enough, he's been the GM of this team. I think this is what, the seventh year we've missed. What is it? Five out of the last six years or something like that, we've missed the playoffs. And I mean, part of that was obviously we were rebuilding, but at the same time, that's not exactly a good track record. And I don't know if it's really fair to fire Travis Green, because I think Benning's on such a short leash anyway. Like, you might as well just get rid of the GM if that's the route you're going to go. And then the new GM can hire their own coach, because I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to fire Green and then allow, you know, Benning to hire another interim coach, or have an interim coach come in, and then we fire him, let's say, at the end of the year, and then we have to get a whole new coaching staff. So I don't know. I think if you're going to go axe Benning, and then the new GM can come in and hire his own coach if they decide to go that way. But I don't know. It just seems like we're going to be shifting around a lot of parts if we start with Green. But if there's anybody who's going to go, I would say it'd be Benning first.
That's a good point. I agree with you there, Zach. I don't know. I find it so hard. Like, I'm so torn, because just at, you know, well, last May, everyone was off with Benning's head, off with Travis's head. You know, I personally said, give him a chance. Then we had a wicked summer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We had an amazing summer, which, credit to Jim Benning, I thought. And then now it's like, what's going on? Where do you draw the line in the sand? We had a comment on Instagram from Happy Farmer, and he said, Canucks historically have a terrible October. Why would anyone expect more? That's a good point. It's something I never thought of. I seem to forget we always have shitty Octobers. I don't know why it is. It must be the rain. But I mean, we did have a shitty October. We're now mid-November. So how long can we use that excuse for? But I do remember, even when Luongo was in town, right? He tweeted something about, thank God November's over, or something like that.
Right, he was notorious for his slow starts.
Yeah, and I think as a whole, Vancouver always has been. I don't know why.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah,
it's a weird tradition, I guess.
It is a weird tradition. So hopefully that means things will turn around soon. As for like legitimately firing GMs and coaches, I just don't know if it's going to happen.
Are we going to talk about what should happen or what's actually going to happen? Because those are two different things.
That's fair. Yeah, very true. Well, let me tell you, if you open up Score Mobile, not sponsored by, their first headline. So a headline from, okay, let's go to 5 hours ago. So 21 hours ago, Canucks head home with major issues after a disastrous road trip. 13 hours ago, Canucks, Travis Green, quote, I can understand fans losing confidence in us. 9 hours ago, Canucks have 5 candidates to replace Jim Benning if he's fired. 5 hours ago, the Vancouver Canucks are a disaster, full stop. One hour ago, Canucks candidates to replace Green should include Boudreaux and Bilsma. So there's already, you guys can go read those articles if you want. They're already out there giving you candidates for both analysts, I think. I don't know what happened. I heard on Donnie and Dolly, I think someone was complaining. I can't remember who, maybe it was ownership, that fans are being too negative or whatever. It fired Dolly up, and he said, like, look, you've had a losing team for, or maybe it was Benning that said it, because he said, you've had a losing team for 8 years. You know, how you can't tell fans not to complain.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. So I wouldn't be shocked if someone got fired. I think I'm going to go with Zach. I think if someone's going to go, I think it'd be Jim first, and then see how the team and Travis responds. And if nothing, then Travis goes next, obviously.
Steve? But so, like, how? What's your timeline on this? Because, like, I mean, before the season, after he got rid of that cap, he was like a god, right? Like, you got rid of these three contracts, you got these guys, Jim Benny this, right? The whole team's supposed to be turned around. It's a whole new look. Nothing's been going the way it needs to be going. Is it, like, I don't know if it's too early to like, pull the trigger on that, right? Like, if you get rid of Green, maybe you can still work with Benny and see what happens. If that's where you're going to base it off, give him his other year, then maybe you do have, like, I would say interim coach, but have another coach come in on a one-year basis, see what happens, and go from there. But, yeah, I personally think we need to wait it out a bit, see what happens with the new year. Yeah. Wow. I said the new year. And
really?
See where we're at. Yeah.
I'm shocked to hear that from you, Steve, to be honest.
I am too.
But I don't disagree with you, Steve. I'm just shocked.
Yeah, no.
That's funny.
Do we agree on something?
Well, to be honest, I'm kind of swaying the other way. I don't want to give him that much time.
I don't know. I everyone wants him gone and out, but at the same point, like, 6 weeks ago, everyone was praising him at the same, you know what I mean? So we gave him the contract, right? Well, there's 2 years left on each of them, I'm pretty sure. That's what it was. We talked about that. Two years on Green.
Green got a 2-year deal. Yeah. So that's the other thing is they'll just be throwing that money in the trash can.
Exactly. We just signed him to a 2-year deal. Then we're going to get rid of him. Right. And then Benny just pulled off all those contracts, you know, waiting for these guys to come in.
Brought in Garland. Let's
burn Garland. You know, OEL fucking got rid of the other contracts that everyone was bitching about.
Yeah.
And then to turn around within 4 or 5 weeks. Even me, like, I'm just like, see what happens. Like,
look,
give it a chance. And if nothing changes by the new year, fuck it. Off with their heads.
Fuck it.
So you're saying January then. So you'll give them another month and a half, 6 weeks.
Yeah. I give them six weeks to at least figure the shit out. Right. As long as the team's going on the up and up, you can see it fucking changing. If it's the same bullshit that we're watching and, you know, half-ass horseplay of what we want to call hockey, then we got to get out, right? We got to get both of them out.
So that's funny because I look at our next six games and we've got some heavy hitters in there. You know, we've got the Avalanche, the Jets, and the Avalanche just wiped the floor with us last game. Then we got the Penguins, the Bruins, like all in the next six games. To me, like, I'm giving him. So let's see. This Wednesday, we've got the Avalanche, Friday, the Jets, Sunday, the Blackhawks. I mean, to be honest, I think he has by the end of the week in my book. Like, if it doesn't get turned around in those three games, like, that's when I would start to be pulling the trigger. Because, I mean, this season, at the end of the year, Brock Besser is an RFA, so we still do have control over that contract. But his contract expires at the end of this year. Apart from that, the only other big one really, like, you know, penalty kill specialist is Tyler Mott, but he's an energy guy. He's somebody who I think is extremely undervalued on the Canucks. But those two guys are coming due at the end of the year. And then again, next year, we've got Horvat and Miller into UFA. So, like, I think we do have to make some moves. Like, I think this year we really have to turn things around. And I think the longer that we let it go, the bigger the hole we dig ourselves into. And I mean, like, you hear the way some of these guys are talking, like, even, you know, Horvat talking about how it's unacceptable, or Petey, how he wants to be part of a winning culture. Like, these guys, and look, this isn't taking any blame off Petey's shoulders, because he has stunk this year, right? Like, he's had that one game against Dallas. He had brief glimpses of it. You know, it felt like he might be turning it around, but, and then he followed it up, actually, the game in Anaheim, had a goal in that as well to tie it up late. But then since then, you know, I've watched a bit of each game, and there, you know, he's just fallen all over the ice again. Like, but I really do think that we need to turn it around and quick. Like, if this year isn't a big step in the right direction, I think, you know, it's going to have big implications on our roster moving forward.
Yeah, I concur. And I mean, there was, what do we have? 19 goals in three games.
Against, yeah.
Yeah, 19 goals against, sorry, in three games. I know I'm going to quote your favorite person on the planet here. What's his name from The Athletic?
Oh, Thomas Drance.
Thomas Drance, yeah. Zach's a fan favorite. So he, what did he say? Ah, shit, it was a tweet. Anyways, at least the Canucks didn't forget to hang Halak out to dry before heading home on from the road trip. And that was like, he's right. I mean, they hung out, they're both goalies. You know, Demko might have been the only bright light of this season so far. Hoglander's played well. He's got 4 goals in 3 games or something like that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
We'll say that's great. Demko has been great all season.
Unfortunately, we're fucked without Demko.
Yeah.
Like if we have Demko, this season would have been, it would have been way the fuck out of the, like blown out of the water. Like we'd be losing every game like we play against the Avalanche.
Well, guys, I mean, even talking about the roster right now, like I just pulled up Daily Faceoff and the lineup that they have listed for the Canucks. Like Petey is centering the third line right now. You know, we've got Miller on as our top line center, Horvat as our second line center. Our third line right now is Dickinson, Petey, and Besser. Like, you know, that says it all. When our top line right now is Tanner Pearson, Miller, and Nils Höglander, like, I'm sorry, but we have more talented players than that that should be playing up in the lineup. Miller is where he should be on that first line, but it's, you know, it is frustrating to watch right now.
So, yeah,
but how do you pull Höglander off the top, though? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go on. That's a good question.
I mean, I'm all for playing the hot hand. Like if him and Miller, if that's a good line, if that line's producing, which, you know, again, Miller has been the engine that is running this team this year. Like if there's any bright spot apart from obviously Demko, it's Miller, like in the forward core.
Yeah.
He's been unreal. Like
just
I know
because he's crushing your fantasy squad.
He is crushing fantasy, but more than that, like you can just see it out there. Even the way that he talks like post game, right? And like he's got that emotion. You can tell he's a leader in that room. But you know, like, and I'm not saying take Höglander off that first line, you know, if that line's getting chemistry, I'm all for it. But you know, with like, and again, this isn't really a sign of taking anybody off those lines. Just Petey should be doing more to be earning those spots higher up in the lineup. Like he's, again, like, I don't mean to lump it all on one player, but if there's one player that it's really obvious is struggling and just dragging down every line he's playing on, it's Petey. Like you see him on the power play and he's overthinking everything. You see him, you know, he's dipsy doodling, falling all over the ice.
He tried the Forsberg the other night.
Yeah. I mean, try it. But it's just like, just shoot the puck. Like we were both talking, like when all three of us sat down and watched that Dallas game, he had his head up. He was just making the basic plays, trying to get it to the net. None of these dipsy doodle passes. Even against Anaheim, you know, it took kind of a funny bounce through Gibson. It was a bit of a lucky shot, but he just shot it at the net. Like we aren't really seeing that from him. It's, you know, as a fan, it's really easy to point and say whatever, but it is frustrating to watch, especially considering he just had that payday. He's supposed to be our star number one center. And it's really tough not to notice that, especially now that he has signed that bigger ticket contract.
Yeah. And I saw Travis said the other day that they're talking to him. He knows, right. He knows he's not performing. Coaching staff and the management have told him he's not, like, everyone's aware of the situation. It's not just the fans. And obviously the fans want to do better. The coaching staff and the management wants him to do better. And I'm sure he wants to do better himself. We know he wants to do better. So I don't know what it is. It's just hopefully a matter of time before that turns around. Go ahead, Steve.
What?
Oh, did you? Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was breathing. But yeah, no, like I was, I have caught me off guard there. I have a question,
what?
Though.
What? Wait. Fuck, guys. We're on a podcast? Are we recording?
I wonder if there's some beef in between Greener and Petey. I wonder if something happened with this contract negotiation that pissed off something, or you know what I mean, like Petey just doesn't seem like himself.
I wondered that too, Steve. I don't know if that's between Green and Petey or if it's between Petey and himself. You know, whether or not something maybe he wanted more money longer term, and maybe he's pissed off that his injury happened and that things just didn't go his way.
I really think that he wants more money, and that he's not, now we're not winning, So why would he go out there and try and hurt himself again? You know what I mean? Like, if I don't play hard, I don't go to the boards, I'm not going to get risk myself, right? I'm not going in hard. I'm not going to take the slashes. If I'm not scoring, I'm not getting the guy whacking with the stick every damn game, right?
Speaking of being hurt,
how does he expect to get paid, though? Like, the guy's got to pick up his play. Like, I don't know.
Get traded?
Well, he's not getting cut.
Traded? Watch him ask for a trade.
Anyway, what are we going to trade him for now? Honestly, at this point?
He still has trade value.
Of course. It's not as high as in his rookie season, but it is. No.
He still has trade value.
His
contract there, for the, what it's worth, too, for 7.8, it's not he has a $10 million contract, right? So.
Yeah. Well, anyways, let's not talk about trading Petey because that's not going to happen.
No, it won't happen.
I saw Brandon Sutter and Granville Island on the weekend. And
He
looked fine. I don't know what the fuck he's up to. But he turned up to play an NHL game. I thought about telling him, like, man, PK's suffering. Let's go. But he's hurt. I didn't want to rub it in. It's not like he doesn't know, you know, he fucking knows. So
anyway, get your ass kicked by Brent Sutter at Granville Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, or be the reason he gets a setback in his injury.
Breaks his hand on you, breaks his hand on your face. Everyone just hates you.
Hey, it would get the publicity for the podcast, so you should have done it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Local podcast host. Yeah, setbacks. Yeah. Brandon Sutter's return.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be great.
With his face.
Devastated.
It's his nose is broken, bleeding everywhere. Everyone's yelling at him.
It'd be great. Speaking of which, that PK is running at the NHL basement of 62.3%. That's our penalty kill right now.
Almost 50.
That's our penalty kill, Steve.
Saying there's a chance.
It's so bad. One every two.
It is so bad.
I'm glad we're getting some laughs in here, boys. That first 20 minutes or so of this podcast was very somber and serious.
Try to get rid of fucking get rid of Green.
So it's just very serious conversation. We were all kind of just like seriously upset. Which
it is depressing.
Yeah. So back to the depression, because why jump out of it now? In their last 82 regular season games over the parts of three seasons. So, you know, there hasn't been the full 82 season year or 82 game year in, you know, X amount of years. So combine the 3 years, 82 games, the Canucks have a record of 32-43-7.
That's better than I thought it would have been, to be honest.
That is 71 points. With only 22 regulation victories.
Yikes.
That's terrible.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It's like all we're Sanders shit.
That is. Now that team is a dumpster fire too. Fuck the Sens.
Nah, they're coming up. They're gonna fucking, they got a good core there.
Longest rebuild in NHL history.
Yeah, but they look almost in a better position than we are.
I wouldn't go there yet.
I don't know.
But anyway, that is an abysmal record for the Canucks. 71 points.
Yes. When's the last time we got 71 points? Or 71 points or below? Like, that's what, Dan Couche era?
Ooh, I don't know. We had some frosty years with Willie D there. Roll four lines no matter what. I could not stand him as a coach.
Yeah, our fourth line is just full of plugs.
Yeah, and they're getting as much time as the first line. It's like, what are you doing? Come on.
Like, we could roll four lines now and still have a better chance. But like back then, we can't remember fucking what we had. We had like AHLers on our fourth line.
Yeah.
That's 18 minutes a game. Ugh. What the fuck? I'll fucking put him on the PP. Let's see what happens.
Oh, it was bad.
He scored 120 goals in fucking midget, but.
Yeah, you know what I would be interested in though is what you were talking. Sorry, actually, go on with whatever you're going to talk about, Andrew. I was going to go back to potential coaching changes, but then I realized we already passed that.
No, go ahead.
I was only going to ask because, you know, we were talking about bygone eras of shitty Canucks teams, but Was in that coaching list that you saw, was Tortorella's name brought up at all?
God, I've seen it
high too. I've seen it like top five.
I have heard it talked about in like hockey groups, but none of them are like you know, pros or anything. But I have heard it talked about as Torts coming to Vancouver.
I personally like Torts.
I do too.
I do not think he will be good with this team.
I don't either. I don't either.
Torts, if you get a big physical team, a little bit more of a veteran style, not so much younger, you can do wonders with them. Really defensive, big, strong guys that listen to them and can take getting yelled at. But our team is full of snowflakes, and it's just what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who else. You know what? Another name that has been thrown out, and this one I'm more a fan of than Torts per se, but is Babcock.
Ooh, even with like everything coming out.
Even with everything coming out, but I mean,
how much of a dickhead he was, like Chelios. But he literally didn't play. He asked to get traded or whatever it was, and then just sat him, didn't play, and then during the outdoor game or whatever it was.
It was the outdoor game back in Chicago, I think it was. Yeah, but no, look, like I'm not saying, but also, I mean, I do think that maybe this was a little bit of a reckoning for him, but at the same time, like, I like a little bit of that old school approach. I don't know if to the same extent as Torts, because I think you're right with the style of players that we have. I don't think it would match his grinding style game at all, but Babcock has a little bit more experience playing with skilled guys. I mean, you look back to the Detroit days with Zetterberg, Datsyuk, Lidstrom, like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, that team wasn't a busty down grinded out team, neither are the Canucks, but it's just interesting, right? Like, I've seen three of the names that I've heard talked about were Babcock, Tortorella, and Boudreau, right? And of those three, to me, I would like to see Babcock the best.
Really?
To me.
I see when those three guys that you brought up, all wickedly offensively gifted and defensively gifted. That's equal to Selke how many times, right? Norris, the Lindstrom, and Zetterberg's right there too. So to be gifted players that can also produce and shut down is a
factored into coaching too, right? Like, that could have been part of their development. Like, obviously Detroit for a long time developed really well through their AHL system, and that could have been part of that development. It could have been through the whole organization, which I think it was, but I have a feeling that Babcock played a part in that in defensive responsibility, something that, you know, if Pete picked up a little bit, would be a huge add-on to his game. Cause right now, like, he is a one-dimensional player. Mm-hmm. And when that aspect of his game is gone, like, this is what we're seeing right now. Like, he doesn't have a B game to him, right? Like Miller, you can see Miller can snipe, he can score, he can do whatever. But if he's not going that way, he's hitting, he's grinding, he's doing whatever. Same with Horvat, right? Like, Horvat will drive the net. Horvat has a B game if it's not going his way offensively, but Petey has nothing. Like, Petey's either lighting the lamp, dancing around the ice, or he's invisible, falling.
I disagree with that. I think Petey does more defensively than we like to see. I have noticed him playing well, decently defensively over the last few games anyways. But again, I don't know if he's been playing well defensively or if that's the only part of his game that I've actually been able to compliment in any kind of way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's been times where PD, he hustles, he uses his speed, he gets back, he breaks up plays, he gets his stick on other guys' sticks and makes life hard in the defensive zone, block shots. I don't have his block shot stats on me. I'll look, but before I move on to that, I just want to throw in my two cents for Bruce Boudreau, because he's coached players like Ovechkin, Getzlaff, Parise. He's got a Jack Adams. Does he have a Stanley Cup? No Stanley Cup, but I think his playing style would be, it's high tempo and it's skilled. And that might play well for Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, especially Connor Garland, probably too. He likes, you know, he plays fast, a chip on his shoulder, and Nils Höglander as well, probably would fit that style. That's a face I wouldn't mind seeing. I don't know too much about Bilsma. He was in Winnipeg, wasn't he?
No, Bylsma won the cup with Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Sorry. Right.
That's right. Another thing. Like, I know we've talked about Trotz goalies before, and it's hard to gauge them. Like, I have a hard time gauging Bylsma as a coach because the biggest sample size that we have of is him coaching, you know, Crosby and Malkin.
All star fucking.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's
Crosby, Malkin,
yeah.
Letang, Fleury.
Yeah.
It's going down the fucking list.
It's so tough to gauge that, right? That's the only thing that I have with Bylsma too. The only thing that I don't like about Boudreau, and you see it in like Ovechkin's game, is he never gained that defensive awareness, that other side of the puck, until Trotz came in, like until he got a new coach, and that's when they finally won. Like, Boudreau's great on the offensive side, but I don't know that he has kind of the coaching ability to switch it to the other side of the puck. Like, that's why Washington never made it to the third round under Boudreau. That's my only criticism of Boudreau.
Yeah, I personally leaned with Braun. I thought Boudreau would be a good fit, but after listening to you talk, I think maybe Babcock might be the better solution, as much as I would hate to, I don't know, it kind of hurts me to say that.
Oh, but, yeah, me too. Me too.
But I'm, he's coached Team Canada. He's coached some of the best players in the world. Yep. He's won at the highest levels.
My guess is that the Aquilinis probably think drama is the last thing they need. I think they'd probably steer clear of that decision. As much as I love Babcock as well, you know, he's Canada's coach.
I know we're sticking on this topic for a long time, but the other thing that I see is, like, who have we had for coaches recently, right? Like, we had Torts, then it was Willie D, and now it's Travis Green, and it's pretty. You know, these are
our last great coach is Vigneault.
Yeah, but like, so Torts was a different style, obviously, but between Desjardins and then Travis Green, like, there's not a ton of NHL coaching experience there. So that's...
Uh-oh.
Did we just lose Steve?
Houston, we have a problem.
Quick, send us over to that that style of interview where we're both sitting in chairs beside each other. hold on.
You think
I'm going to invite him while we're here again,
yeah,
but we can keep talking anyway. I think, I think that would be interesting, because I think with the young guys that we have on our team, maybe it is worthwhile to go with a more experienced coach, somebody who's been there, done that, give some leadership in the room. I think that's the biggest reason why I'd be leaning towards Babcock.
Yeah, I agree. Again, like we said at the beginning, I don't know if his coaching style would suit the players, unfortunately, but for record standpoint and fan favorite, Babcock would be an interesting choice.
It would be. I just sent that invite again to Steve, so we'll see what happened there.
I bet you $100 his phone died.
You're probably right. You are probably right.
It's okay. Once he gets back, we'll tell him how much shit we talked about him.
He's going to come in heated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll just continue on without him, I guess. Yep. The viewers probably won't miss him too much, I'd say. Well,
no.
Shot fired. One down. Oh, well.
If he listens back to this, we'll know now.
Yeah, that's right. We'll know if he listens to the pod or not.
Anyway, so what do we have next? We were going to talk about Hockey Hall of Fame?
Hockey Hall of Fame. Yeah, so I saw today that the NHL.com, so it's not just fake news, not just Reddit, NHL.com said that the Sedins have the opportunity or the chance to be, you know, here it is, Hockey Hall of Fame class of 22 could include the Sedin brothers.
Hold on, should we at least cover the class of 2020 before we start looking ahead?
yeah, do you have it there?
I do have it. So we have inducted this year is Doug Wilson, Kevin Lowe, Ken Holland, Kim St. Pierre, Marian Hossa, and then Jerome McGinley.
Sorry, that's 2021, is it?
2020, because they delayed last year's induction ceremony.
Right.
So they just finally got it done this year, but that's a pretty stacked class. And I believe it was just Marian Hossa and Jerome McGinley that were first balloters, but I could be wrong on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that'd be a quick induction for the Sedins. Not that they don't deserve it. It's just like, I mean, Ginla just went in.
Yeah.
How long is that guy been retired for?
Well, but that's his first time on the ballot, so he did get in right away.
Right.
That's, I think, true. You have the requisite 3 or 4 years of retirement, and then you can get in. But yeah, he was first ballot. Same with Marian Hossa. You know, he had that skin disease or whatever that forced him into an early retirement. But those two were first ballots, first time on it, and they made it right in. So,
all right, welcome back, Steve.
Thank you. I guess it was just me that crashed.
Yeah. What happened? What happened?
It froze. I was in the middle of my sentence and it froze, and then I couldn't get back in, and then so I just restarted my system.
Your phone knew your take was stupid too, so it cut you off.
Fuck you.
We talked so much shit about you when you're off, dude.
Fucking better. The only guys you fucking have the balls to is when I'm fucking not listening.
Oh, we were just broaching into the Hall of Fame class. We just started talking about you know, if the Sedins are going to get in. We went over the six people who were inducted this year, and yeah, we just started down that path. So,
yeah, you mean if they're going to get inducted, or if they get first ballot inducted?
I think they're going to get inducted. I think, yeah, I think it's more a discussion on whether they're first ballot worthy or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the question.
It also says Luongo and Zetterberg among those to be considered.
God, I hope lose first ballot.
You know what they should do? They should put one of the Sedin brothers in before the other, just to fucking throw a wrench in it.
Yeah.
Just, you can't even, that's such a dick thing to fucking do. Like, their whole careers, they get to fucking stay together. Like, the weirdest shit. At the very end, you're like, nope, sorry.
Yeah.
Remember the time you got hurt for that half a season? Yeah, fuck you, bud, you're out.
Yeah, I can't see them getting inducted separately.
No.
That is interesting. I think I might have just pulled up the same thing. Well, actually, I'm looking at the hockeywriters.com talking about the inductees, the available ones. Oh, Henrik Zetterberg too. This is he's first ballot, Henrik Zetterberg, 100%.
Sure is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rick Nash.
If Rick Nash is, then the Sedins are.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Like, I don't think Rick Nash is a first ballot. I think the Sedins are questionable first ballot. I think Luongo will go first ballot. I think Luongo and Zetterberg will be first ballot. Yeah, but you know, two gold medals. He's got hockey championships.
Gold medals for Team Canada.
Oh yeah, they count.
No, but I don't think count. But still,
I don't know. I think that he could. Like, you know, I mean, he even went up, this isn't a major award or anything, but, you know, Luongo as a goalie got the Mark Messier Leadership Award, William Jennings Trophy. You know, even the 1 year, like, he should have had a Vezina in all reality if it wasn't for the 1 year that Brodeur broke the record for 48 wins in a season and Luongo had 47. Like, I don't
fuck
know.
Fuck Luongo. Get fucked.
Oh, fuck Brodeur. That guy wouldn't even be top 10 if it wasn't for the trap and the
Are
Devils.
You kidding me?
He wouldn't be top 10. We wouldn't be talking about him if he wasn't done. If Kirk McLean didn't get traded.
What are you talking about? He did it like 41 years old. He went to the Stanley Cup.
He could have had a shooter tutor in net and that team would have gone to the Cup.
He made one of the best pad saves of all time. I don't know what you're talking about.
No,
he did.
He's
he did.
Dog shit.
You're an idiot.
He's
mildly retarded.
He would not be top 10 if it wasn't for that. If it wasn't for that team and the trap, he wouldn't be top 10.
Holy shit.
So,
the hell you're talking about?
Luongo holds a handful of NHL records, most saves in a single season, shots faced in a single season, third all time in wins, ninth in shutouts, ninth in save percentage, and second in games played. Two gold medals at the Olympics, two at the World Championships, another at the World Cup of Hockey, silver medals at the World Championship and World Juniors. Yeah, if it were me, up to me, Luongo was getting in first ballot.
I don't say no, but he's not 100% guaranteed in my eyes. I think.
Yeah, I don't think he's a guarantee either. But
yeah. He could go second ballot, but. Is it likely for him to go first round? I think so too. I think it's more likely that the Sedins go first round, just because of how much like they've done for the NHL, and you know how they were never like bad players and they set example, right? And did a lot of off ice community service and a lot of that type of stuff, giving back to the community, all that. They're role models for the NHL, right? So they didn't, the rap sheet was squeaky clean, you know, nothing, no going out, no staying out late, you know what I mean? None of that shit. So that's the only thing that maybe I can think they could push them into the first round, but yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah, what do you think, Andrew?
You boys made that real easy on me. You just raged on each other and rambled off there. I loved it.
Oh, we heard talk like an idiot. You're getting yelled at.
Oh, please.
Fuck me, man.
Make my job easy here.
Bro, dirt, that fat loser.
Do you know all those categories that you just named? He's leading it in all of them.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to Scott Stevens and Scott Niedermann.
Oh, Scott. Yeah. Scott,
you could have done that. Yeah. Steve, you could have done that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Anyone could have done it. Yep. Anyone. That's why everyone just should have done it and won a cup. But they
anybody could have done it. It would have been couldn't. Kirk McLean. If Kirk you're McLean didn't idiot, get traded to the Canucks, you're, if Kirk McLean stayed retarded.
Because if anyone could have done it, then why didn't everyone do it?
Well, they stuck with Brodeur.
Because, what? I mean, any team could have played the champ and won the cup, then, is what you're saying.
Brodeur, at best, in any best-case argument, is number three overall. That's it.
If you put Waugh in front of Brodeur, you're...
Waugh?
Waugh, my God.
Miles better, and Hasek even better.
Oh, my God. You're those so two. Dumb. Holy.
Please.
How? I can't even believe I'm hearing this.
Okay. Oh. So,
Oh man, records and stats speak for themselves.
I poked the fire there. I threw gas on it, so I'll reel it back in.
Back
all up. Right. So here it says Henrik is one of the best passers and playmakers in the NHL history and should be a Hall of Fame lock. And then it basically goes on to say Daniel was riding his coattails. but in more words.
That's kind of rough, considering that season that Henrik did go down, and then Daniel. I think Daniel won the Art Ross that year, didn't he?
Yeah. No, it doesn't. It doesn't really.
Yeah, 2009. I mean,
it sounds about right. 2009 or 2010, yeah. One of those two.
Yeah. Yeah, like it does. It's not putting Daniel down by any means, but it's just saying like the first sentence for Henrik says he's a lock. The first sentence for Daniel says. Daniel and his twin brother formed one of the best scoring duos in the NHL for nearly two decades with the Canucks after he was the number two pick in the 1999 draft. Yeah. One spot ahead of Henrik.
Well, why do you think that? Why do you think one's a lock and one's not?
I don't think I'm just quoting here.
I know, but no, I'm not saying it, just like a general thing, right? Like Zetterberg has how many Stanley Cups? Three or four, right?
Right.
The Deans have, if we win 2011 first round ballot Hall of Fame, lock.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, I don't think the Sedins get in first ballot. I think that Zetterberg does for sure. And I think Luongo does because the international resume and the games played and everything. Like, I think that those two will get in first ballot.
And to be honest, I know you're both probably going to disagree with this, but I don't hold too much weight in Stanley Cups when it comes to Hall of Fame players, just because it's such a team sport and it really, like... You could be a Hall of Fame player on a shit team. Like we talked about last podcast, I think Leon Draisaitl deserves a gold medal in every fucking category, but he'll never win one in the Olympics. To me, that doesn't mean he's not a fucking gold star. You know what I mean?
I completely agree with you, Bron.
Okay.
But the thing is that that's just not how it's calculated.
Right.
Like, that's not what the people that make the calls look at. They want to see Stanley Cups, right? I agree with you. I believe in all sports, right? Like, Dan Marino is one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but he's always going to be looked down on because he's never won a Stanley Cup or a Super Bowl. All
right. But you know what might be interesting?
Steve had a Super Bowl before this fucking podcast.
I wish,
That's why he disappeared for 3 minutes.
There you go. He stole that stuff from work.
I think one interesting topic about the Stanley Cup too is that, you know, when you look historically at all the Hockey Hall of Fame players, you know, we're looking at eras where there were six teams in the league or 12 teams in the league, you know, like where with the league was a much smaller, so the likelihood of getting a cup was much higher. I think moving forward now, you're going to see a lot more players inducted with a lot less emphasis on the Stanley Cups, because, you know, now at 32 teams, you're not going to have as many players winning the cup, right? So like, you may have superstars on these teams, but now they're playing off against 31 teams every year. The likelihood of winning the cup is a lot less likely. I don't think that there's going to be the same emphasis placed on Stanley Cups moving forward as there may have been in the past.
Yeah, I
just because of the field of competition. Like, I just think that the likelihood of it is a lot less.
But I mean, we're only a couple teams bigger. It's not like we're expanding from 29 to 41, right? So, I mean, yeah, you're diluting it by a couple teams, but you're still going to have those teams that just become dynasties and will win 3, 4, 5 times in a decade, right? So,
oh, for sure.
And hopefully it just never turns out to the NBA where you get guys that, oh, I will go play with my 4 buddies, all-star buddies, and go put a super team together, right? Like, I'm glad the NHL is not like that at all. So, but we'll see. I think there's still going to be those bottom for your teams are going to take a while, and there's going to be those guys that chase cups. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to win a Stanley Cup. And obviously, I shouldn't. I mean, there is some weed, obviously. But, yeah. Anyways, I'm glad we all kind of agree on that. Anything else, boys, on the Vancouver Canucks before we go league? We're kind of doing it backwards this time because, you know, we had to talk about the Canucks first, I think. So,
yeah.
Usually we start it light with jokes from around the league, and this time we're going to have to do that backwards. So anything else on the Canucks, boys? You got anything else you want to bring up?
I'm good being depressed.
Just that I think that we could see Benning ousted by Sunday.
Wow. That's a hot take, dude.
$20?
Oh shit.
I don't bet on stuff I can't control. But no, I
so you don't gamble.
Well, I'll gamble on fantasy because at least I have some play in it. I don't have full control over it.
I mean, but you.
I do have some control of it.
So, but you don't control the players.
Right, but I can draw them sucking ass. So I bet on fantasy every year, but I won't bet on the NHL. But no, I do honestly think that I think that he could be out as soon as Sunday.
That's a hot take.
I would like to see that. So
if we lose to Chicago, you're talking Benning? I'm talking Benning. Yeah.
I still think Greener goes before Benning.
Yeah. I don't know. I like, just for the reason that I said, I think it's going to be Benning first, and then it's going to be up to that new GM to hire a new coach. They could go both together as a package option. Then we just promote, I don't know, one of our assistants to interim head coach. But then, but I do think regardless that if there's going to be a major change, Benning's going to be a part of it or the big part of it.
Yeah, but you can also pull off at the same time.
Oh yeah, that's fire, what I mean.
Green, yeah.
They could fire, go green, together.
They could go together,
but I don't think, I think at the very minimum, Benning's going to go. If anybody's going to go, it's going to be Benning, in my opinion.
I'll go against you and there, say green. So
there you go, guys.
Disagree.
You heard it here first. I don't know what we'll do if you're right, Zach, but
we don't need to do anything.
Whoa. Andrew's going to spend the time to put a celebration sound effect in. Just one of those like balloons and whistle thing go off, and yay, kids chatting in the background.
Standing ovation, like,
yeah.
That'd be funny.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's a bold move, Cotton.
I can do that. I still have to find a sound effect for when Steve fucks up. In fact, I should find something and play it for today when you decided to leave the podcast in the middle of it.
Figure it the fuck out, Ron.
Yeah.
You've been saying this every fucking podcast the last 3 weeks.
I know, shit. I asked for viewer help and nobody helped me. Nobody sent me any messages, nothing. So fuck it.
Blame our viewers. Throw them underneath the bus. Screw you guys. You guys all suck. It's all your fault.
Fuck. No, that's not true. Okay, so league news. Let's talk about league news. Just a few boys. So, once again,
we talk about fantasy league news. I'm on top.
Oh, we can talk about that at the end too.
Okay, start there. Go. You boys go. I'll sit back.
We gotta battle the heavyweights. I do like, Steve, that you changed your team name to chirp whoever it was that you beat last week, who always changes his team name.
Yeah, fucking goddamn ourselves changes his name for everyone. So
you change your name to
change my name after. Yeah. His team fucking sucks. Cause I mean, this team fucking sucks. So I mean, that's what happens. You talk shit, you get hit.
No, I like
but
it.
Yeah. Me and you are battling for number. Well, I'm first. I think you're fourth or third.
I think record. I'm third right now with difference on points scored. But yeah, both of us. So there's three of us at 4-1 in the league. You've got the most points for, so you're in first. I'm about 68 points behind you as far as points scored. But again, we both have a 4-1 record. Sure. We won't mention where Braun is, but you know, ironically, my one loss came to Braun.
I love it, Braun. Braun, you got me first, baby. Oh, anybody?
What's that?
you pulled through. You beat fucking Zach.
Now I'm
number one.
Yeah. Fuck.
So what do you mean, Zach?
Oh, I don't care. No, we were just saying that, you know, we were going over league standings, and we're both 4-1, and I said ironically my one loss is to Braun, who's at 1-4.
1-4. Gross.
That's my one loss.
Didn't you win your thing last year?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because I pulled off that Barkov trade with you. That won me a year. 100%.
Barkov and Allison early. I just got confused with COVID shit, and I was like, yeah, Carolina's not playing for 10 games. Fuck this. There
Dude,
you go.
Same thing happened. Like when I dropped Pavelski, if Gord's probably listening, he picked him off free agency. So last year, Zach, Dallas got hit with COVID, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, I can't have this old bum just taking up a roster spot. So I dropped him, and I planned on picking him up again, like when he became eligible to start.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too late. I missed it. And because I wasn't that rushed, I was like, he's old. He ended up finishing like fourth in the league with points. Like,
yeah, I got lucky last year too. I picked up Pavelski and Garyanov right before they came back, and they both lit the league on fire. Like power play points every night. It was wild.
They were unstoppable.
I'm waiting to see that player this year. Like so far, to be honest, I think like JT Miller at fourth overall in our league scoring is out of nowhere. Like
right. Where did you draft him?
I think I drafted him third Six. Round.
That's
fourth
high
round. I drafted him fairly high, but let me just see because I've got to figure that out. I drafted him fifth round, 44th overall.
Yeah,
but that's like for him to be fourth in league scoring. That's a bit of a surprise to me. But yeah, he's been crazy. But it's been fun this fantasy league this year. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it depends who you talk to, I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
I'm not having fun.
It'll be a good week for us, though.
I barely scraped by my football, too.
You beat Julie?
Yeah, barely, man. Like 96 points, and I beat her.
No.
Unreal, yeah. She had 8. That poor girl, man. Such bad luck. Anyways, that's off topic.
I'm off to a hot start, though. I'm beating Steve after night one.
Yeah, with one player that played. Sick, bro.
I had one, you had two, you fucking loser. I'm already up by 1.5
you
points.
Even fantasy, bro.
Oh, 1.5 points.
I have one game played, you have two.
He's got the bag, buddy.
All right. If we're not gonna productively talk about who's hot, right, who's not,
let's talk.
This is not a fucking chirp fest. Well, kind of. Sometimes.
Exactly what it was.
I know that's what it was. No, let's go to league news before we wrap it up here. So I'm gonna cue my little jingle now, because we're gonna talk about the two Canadian teams that we love to talk about, or that Zach loves to talk about. So without further ado, so, Zach.
Yes.
I'll let you kick it off, man, because you started earlier. I thought about putting in the jingle then, but I was like, fuck. maybe I'll just do it at the end and I'll let you run a little bit. So the Ottawa Senators are put on pause due to a COVID-19 outbreak.
Thank God they're all vaccinated, hey?
As well as... Nice. Nice.
We're not going down there.
I know we're not.
TV1 and Broad for Make Broad.
That's your other podcast.
I know we're not.
And so once again, I type in NHL news into my Google, and the first thing that pops up is the Toronto Maple Leafs on Sportsnet again. Maple Leafs ownership fantastically supportive of Shanahan's plan. What's your take on that?
Well, it's easy now when they've won a few games in a row, but you know, everybody was dogging them earlier in this year. That was my favorite part of the year so far, but now they're actually winning, which makes this a lot harder to do, because how do you talk shit about a team that's, you know, way ahead of you guys in the standings? But
right.
I honestly haven't been following the Leafs that much. As soon as they start winning, I don't care anymore. Just tune them out, because it's no fun for me when they're winning. But they're, you know what? They're in a pretty tight division. Well, actually, the Atlantic isn't that bad. The Metro is a lot better, but I don't know. I still don't think they're gonna be there at the end of the year. I'm hoping anyway. I don't know. I don't know what to say about them. They're again like. This isn't a shot at Campbell at all. Campbell's actually played he's punching out of his weight class this year. And now all the talk is that, you know, everything that I see, like every bit of media is talking about how Campbell's a Vezina candidate now, or he's pushing his way into the Vezina conversation. It's like, come on guys, give it a break. Like we're 16 games into the season, but in all honesty, like, I know it doesn't make any sense to me, you know, but
we were talking about Demko getting the best of 16 games.
Well, that's us. We're a Canucks podcast. We're allowed to talk about our home team. If the league is talking about it, three amateurs on our couch, we can talk about it. But their whole season hinges on Jack Campbell. If he goes down right now with Mrazek out, they have, who's that new guy? Scott Wall, Peter Wall, something Wall. They're exactly. But I don't know, man. I can't really say much about the Leafs, to be honest. They've been playing really well. Their goaltending is punching out of its weight class. That defense is somehow keeping the puck out of the net. And it is what it is.
What's your beef with Ottawa? That's who I was more interested in, because that's kind of why I was playing the jingle. You went off earlier. What was that?
Oh, that was just more. I'm in another hockey chat where like there's a bunch of Ottawa fans and they're insufferable. Like all that they like to talk about is how
there's a bunch of Ottawa fans.
I know, trust me,
in a group chat.
It is insane. We have 60% of Ottawa's entire fan base is in one little group chat, but I know it doesn't make any sense either. But we've got, you know, they're always talking about the hashtag greatest rebuild in NHL history. And it's like, do they not pay attention to what is going on? Like, this is the longest rebuild in NHL history. They've got,
confused what the difference between longest and greatest is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the best because it's taking the longest. Yeah, therefore, it's the greatest.
It's the longest term of time. Yeah. No, it's, I don't know. To me, it's, that's really the only thing where it came from. It's laughable to me because this team every year, you know, it sounds a lot like the Canucks at this point, but every year they're on the verge of taking that huge step. But I won't believe it till I see it. And that team, it's more just because I have personal people who I know are following that team.
Go ahead, Steve.
What's your thoughts on Brady Tkachuk getting the C for Ottawa? You think that was a smart move for him? I know obviously you hate Ottawa.
Well,
but from a non-biased standpoint, do you think it was a smart move to give it to Brady Tkachuk?
I don't watch enough of their games to know that for sure, but to me, somebody like Thomas Chabot stands out more. He's somebody who signed there, you know, longer term, kind of earlier in this rebuild. Like he was already committed to the long term. He's there. He's been there for a few more years. He really seems to shoulder that entire defensive load on that team. To me, I thought it was going to be Chabot all the way along. And then they draft Brady Tkachuk, and now he's instantly placed there. So I don't know. And again, like I have a hard time with any player who really holds out like that and tries to kind of put the organization over the fire like that, over the coals. To me, and then immediately to reward him with the captaincy. To me, that always just feels a little bit weird. So, that struck me as odd. I wouldn't have, or at least not this soon. But again, that's pretty non-biased. It's not that I hate Brady Tkachuk. I think he's a fantastic player. I'd love to have a player like him on the Canucks. But I don't know. It felt weird with the way contract negotiations went, and then he was just handed the C.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that I completely agree with you. I thought Thomas Chabot got fucking robbed. And I'm pissed if I was him. I think he's a guy, like you say, was there longer, someone that is their defensive guy. Like, if he doesn't play, that fucking whole decor shuts down to shit.
Yep.
And Tkachuk being a leader, quote unquote, you know, holding out for his playoffs or the preseason, wanting money. I mean, we had two guys on our team that did the same thing, but.
Right. And I would never consider giving the captaincy to either of them.
No,
we obviously have a captain already, but you know.
I mean, sure. Yeah. But to give him the actual captaincy, I don't. I believe. I really like D-men playing as a captain too. I don't know why. I just, from my experience, I find someone that's. D-men are on the ice a lot more. You know what I mean? There's less of them. There's only six of them. Three lines instead of four. And I don't know. It's just something that I've always had like a biased opinion for. Maybe that's because I was a goalie. That's probably why, actually.
Yeah, you communicate with them more.
You communicate with them a lot more. So being a leader from that point and be able to see everything in front of you instead of, you know, not being able to see the ice as well. I think that has a lot to do with leadership. So I don't know if Brady Tkachuk was the right move, I guess, to sum all that up.
Do you think Calgary will give the other Tkachuk the captaincy soon? Or?
No. Do you see that little thing that was going on? They're playing each other. And Tkachuk said something. I can't remember what it was, but he's like, I got a letter on my jersey too or something, like kind of smug. Matthew was saying to Brady, because Brady was kind of rubbing in his seat.
That's funny. Well, yeah, I mean, that would be an awesome rivalry to be playing your brother after you just got handed the captaincy.
I know, right? After,
I can imagine. And being the younger
only,
brother.
He's only assistant. And
yeah.
You come in. But
if I had an older brother, I'd be rubbing that in his face too.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know. Yeah. That's an interesting topic, though. I don't know who's going to get the C in Calgary.
Yeah. Who knows where Tkachuk's going? Maybe he'll end up in Ottawa.
What?
Matthew.
Do you think they're going to trade him?
There's been talks about him being traded. I think they're rebuild the shit of that team. Like, they need to. Calgary's a fucking disaster. Because Calgary's holding on to fucking guys. Like, it's a shit show.
I know that their contract situation is tight, but they are rolling right now.
Yeah, they're third in the Pacific.
I know, but like, they're like with Kudrow, with what is the contracts between him and then like Tkachuk? There's a lot of up in the air prior to the season.
So yeah, Tkachuk, Kudrow, Andrew Mangiapane, who is going to be commanding bigger bucks.
He could be. I know why we're talking about Calgary, but he could be that sub fourth line. Not even say fourth line, but that sub for Team Canada if he keeps it up. He's playing outstanding, but we'll see what happens once the season goes on and see Calgary if they start to decline. Markstrom's played out his fucking mind. Was it four shutouts already or something like that? Like, it's fucking.
I think insane. It's four. Yeah.
Wow. Once he gets hurt, that team's fucked. So we'll see where everyone's at, right? And it's not if, it's when.
It is when.
So. Once he's hurt and Calgary's bumping again, we'll hear all the fucking trade rumors. So it won't be long.
Okay. Well, that was great, guys. We are expecting Benning not to last till Sunday. Or sorry, at least Sunday.
He'll be gone most, before Sunday.
I think he'll be gone
Sunday or before.
Yeah, by Sunday. No, I think he'll be gone.
By Sunday.
No longer than Sunday.
Yeah. All right. And when are we up next? We got tomorrow.
Tomorrow's Tuesday.
I had it here and I just lost it. Canucks schedule.
What do you mean games?
Yeah. So we've got, Wednesday. Wednesday the 17th versus the old Colorado Avalanche, who, like Zach said, wiped the floor with us just the other night. Then we got the 21st. So you're only giving him one game.
No, sorry, three. You missed Friday's game against the Jets.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, this is going side to side. Okay. So, okay. So are you allowing them to play these three games, or are you saying that if it doesn't go well versus Colorado and Winnipeg, then is the Colorado game at home? It's a 6 p.m. start.
No, that should be in Colorado, I think.
Oh, I thought we just ended our road trip.
No, you're right. That is in Vancouver, that game. That is Vancouver. A weird start time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Must be the fucking Leafs' fault.
Yeah, must be.
Fuck the Leafs.
Actually, it looks like three home games here, but no, the reason why I pegged Sunday is just because that's against Chicago, you know, and if any team is going to lose to Chicago, it usually spells disaster. So, that's why I think by Sunday, I give him up until Sunday.
If we lose to Chicago, he's gone.
So you're giving him up till Sunday to prove themselves.
Yeah, three games.
And then you think he'd be gone before the Pittsburgh game on the 24th.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's my guess.
All right. Well, we'll see. I'll be eagerly waiting and watching, keeping an eye out. And I hope you, the listeners, will as well. Thank you for stopping by and putting us in your ears today. I know Steve appreciates it. If you haven't, I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said that.
Braun doesn't appreciate it. Hate you guys. I'm the one that's all the love here. Just you heard it right from the horse's mouth. Just you guys all know that.
It's true.
I care about you. Not
true. I hate you guys too. Yeah.
It's true. Zach talks the most shit.
That's not what I meant. I was just, I don't know where I was going with that. I wanted to say something about your mustache and that came out. I don't know why. I was going to lead up
flustered.
To it.
You can't even fucking come up properly. It's like we try to hit on a girl and you're that.
Oh, fuck. So you make him again. You make him so nervous. You make him so nervous, Steve.
I even got a little brush for it. Well, it's not little, but it's really thin.
It's got to be little if it's for your mustache right now.
What are you fucking talking about? It's right here.
Here.
Hey man, this doesn't take me 32 years.
Yeah, this did take me 32 years. That's why I'm not. I didn't shave at the beginning of November.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. Okay, boys. Thanks a lot. Thanks to you, the listeners. Get at us on Facebook, Instagram at Puck and Flamingo. Let us know what you think about the podcast and what you think about Zach's hot take and what you think might happen to Green and or Benning in the future. Maybe near future. Thanks again, boys. Good night. Been a pleasure as usual.
See ya.
Have a good night.